Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from a book entitled The Christian in Complete Armor. It's by William Gurnall. He was the English Bible scholar and pastor who died in 1679. He's talking about how the Christian expresses the power of holiness, and today how he does that in worship. The same light which shows us there is a God shows us he must be worshipped in holiness. Under the law, God was particular about every facet of worship. The tabernacle, for example, had to be made of the best materials. The workmen were gifted with rare talent. Only the most excellent sacrifices were acceptable, and the persons who ministered to the Lord had to be holy in a peculiar way. God is wonderful in his worship. Number one, be consistent in all ordinances. God hates partiality, especially in ordinances of worship, all of which have their origins in him. And surely we must not reject anything God chooses as a blessing to his children. He communicates himself with amazing variety to keep our hearts encouraged. The spouse looks for her beloved in secret at home, but does not find him, so she goes to the public places and meets him whom her soul loveth. Song of Solomon 3:4. No doubt Daniel had been to the throne of grace often, but God reserved the fullness of his love and the opening of some mysteries to him when he added fasting to his prayers. Only then did God send a messenger from heaven to let Daniel know his mind and heart. The Holy Spirit sometimes gives more blessing in some duties than he does in others, to fill the Christian with extraordinary refreshment. Sometimes the baby takes milk from one breast and then from the other. While David was meditating, a heavenly heat kindled in his heart until at last the fire caught and spread. The eunuch was reading the word when God sent Philip to join his chariot. Christ revealed himself to the apostles as they were breaking bread, and he joined the two disciples on the road to Emmaus as they were having fellowship with one another. Cornelius was praying in his house when a vision from heaven directed him in the way he should walk. So be careful, Christian, not to neglect any one privilege of worship. It might be the door where Jesus stands waiting to enter your soul. The Spirit is free. Do not bind him to one duty only, but wait on him in every one of them. It is not wisdom to let any water run past your mill, which might be useful to send your soul moving toward heaven. Maybe you do not receive as much enlightenment as you want when you seek God in public services. Let me ask you this. What kind of communion do you have with him in secret? Here is a hole wide enough to lose everything you get in public if you don't repair it. Samuel would not sit down to the feast with Jesse and his sons until David, the youngest of the family, was brought in to join them. If you want God's presence in any of the ordinances, you must bring back the one that you sent away. It might be the least important in your way of thinking, but the one God has chosen to crown with his most special blessing to your soul. Number two, seek God's goals. God has two purposes in worship. First, he intends for us to honor him as sovereign Lord. And second, worship is the way he communicates his presence and blessings to his children. This is homage to our sovereign Lord. If there were no worship, how could we declare that it is in him that we live and move and have our being? One of the first things God taught Adam and his children was divine worship. And the Holy Person makes it the most important thing in his life to sanctify God's name and give him glory. A subject may offer a present to his prince in such a ridiculous fashion that the ruler may be more scorned than honored. The soldiers bowed their knees to Jesus, but their hearts mocked the holy God. Our behavior betrays what we think of God. For instance, the man who performs spiritual duties with a holy awe upon his spirit, who comes to them filled with faith and fear, joy and trembling, he it is who declares plainly that he believes God to be a great and good God, glorious and majestic. But the person whose worship is careless and slovenly tells God to his face what crude and meager thoughts he has about him. Errors in worship happen because the person does not know the God he worships. Whatever is engraved on the seal will be printed on the wax. And a man's thoughts of God are reproduced in the religious services he performs. Abel proved to be holy, while Cain showed himself to be wicked. The difference was that Abel aimed at the end which God held up for his worship, the sanctifying of his name. Abel brought God his best. Abel did not bring just any convenient animal from his flock, but offered the firstlings. Nor did he give God the lean and keep the fat for himself. He gave God the best of the best. Cain, on the other hand, brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, but Scripture does not record that it was the first fruit or even the best fruit. Abel gave God his heart. Abel did not hope God would be satisfied with a choice animal or two, though. Along with these, he gave him his heart. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The inward worship of Abel's soul was that God took up with approval from him. And as a result, Abel obtained the precious testimony from God's own mouth that he was a righteous man. Cain, on the other hand, thought it would be plenty, if not too much, to give God a little fruit of the ground. If he had considered who God was and what his purpose was in requiring an offering of him, he could not possibly have reasoned that a handful or two of corn was in itself what God prized, except insofar as it be a sign of spiritual worship, which he expects to accompany outward ceremony. Christians, remember, when you get ready to honor God, that he will be worshipped as himself. Cursed be the deceiver, which has in his flock a male, and vows and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. David was deeply conscientious about the temple he proposed in his heart to build, because the palace was not for man, but for the Lord. Thus he prepared with all his might for the house of his God. And we must approach worship with the same seriousness and humility. I am not ministering to man, but to the Lord God Almighty. And then communication of God's blessing. The psalmist spoke of Mount Zion, the place of God's worship where the temple stood. There the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore, grace and comfort, which swelled into eternal life and streamed out from God to man. The saints of the church have always drawn their water out of these wells. Psalm 69:32 says, "Your heart shall live that seek God." But the souls who will not seek God at Mount Zion must die. The farmer cannot expect a crop where he has not plowed or sowed. The merchant will not get rich if he never opens his doors to let customers in. And it's just as illogical for a person to expect the benefits of grace when he refuses to converse with the ways of God. God does great things for those who commune with him. The power of holiness appears when a person makes it his priority to seek and find God through worship. The diligent student who goes to the university gives up riches and fun so he can give himself to learning. And the holy Christian is stirred up by the Spirit of God to go from one aspect of worship to another, as a bee flies from flower to flower to store up more grace. The holy man does not seek God for an admirable reputation among Christians or for some sort of excitement. Instead, he is like the merchant who sails from port to port, not for sightseeing, but for taking in costly pearls as he discovers them. And a Christian should be even more ashamed than the trader who returns home from his search empty, with no treasure. Are you watching others grow rich in grace through their part in God's ordinances while you come away as a beggar? God sees a precious hunger in those who value Christ and His grace as the strongest need in their lives. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price, it says in Isaiah 55:1. The Spirit of God alludes here to a custom in maritime towns. When a ship came into port, her traders went about the village crying out the arrival of their goods. All who want certain commodities, let them come to the waterside where they can be bought for a price. Thus Christ calls everyone who sees his need of him and of his graces to come to the ordinances where these gifts can be had freely. Next time, how the Christian expresses the power of holiness in employment. We'll talk about it then. Thank you so much again for being here. Remember that I do like hearing from you. Contact me with questions, comments, bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com. And then look around the site while you're here. There's just a whole lot of things going on, and I hope that you'll keep coming back. We're starting as of today. This is the 13th of May, 2024. A study of the book of Job, just a few minutes a day, but it'll be every day, 6 days a week, like a daily devotional that you can come to. It'll be available just like this Gurnall and Spurgeon and all the rest are available. And there's other things coming too. Stand by. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.